Are you ready for the word this morning? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. And we've got some stuff I want to cover this morning. In fact, we've been on a series on Sunday mornings for a while on the 7 steps to fulfilling your destiny. And I'm feeling the leading of God to shift that to Thursday nights. So we're going to shift that teaching over to Thursday nights because there's some stuff I want to cover as a body, as a whole, regarding the season we're in as a church, as a nation, and just the church in the world. Because God's doing some things in acceleration right now. It says in Romans chapter 9, in fact, I apologize in advance to those that were here Thursday. We're going to cover much of what we covered Thursday night. We're going to cover it again this morning to get everybody on board with the direction we're going. Romans chapter 9, verse 28 says, "For he will finish the work." See the word work there? If you're reading the King James, it says he will finish the work. Actually, in the Greek, that is the word logos. It says he will finish the word. That means everything the word has prophesied to take place, God's going to finish it. Amen? Now understand, the word is his work. To accomplish every prophecy, every declaration of the words has brought forth is the work of God. But it says, he will finish the word and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, we've talked about this verse many times in here. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, right? And so, to get us to where God wants us to be, the glorious church, fulfilling every restoration prophecy the Word has brought forth that's to take place in our time, God's got to accelerate things in our lives. Not just as the church, but you personally. Amen? And so we've done some, you know, remember the teachings we've done in the past of the roller coaster ride and things speeding up and going through the loops and such. Well, I want to talk about that again this morning somewhat. It's been about a month ago now. Well, today, it's probably been 5 weeks. I was at all-night prayer, and I was seeking God for 2018. You know, we had the New Year's Eve service coming up. I want to hear what God had to say for the next year. I want to hear anyway. And all of a sudden, I started to see a vision. And I've shared this in here already, so you've heard this before. But I believe I have more revelation on it. I started to see a vision. And it was like I was watching a movie and all these events were taking place and I knew what was going on, but I couldn't see the picture. It was like just a scramble of stuff taking place. And the Lord said, I'm about to speed everything up and things are going to move so fast that 2018 is going to be a year of continual transition. Now, we've talked about transition in here before. That anytime anything speeds up in your life, you've got to adjust to it, right? I've shared before. I remember when I first learned to drive, and I'm on a gravel road, and I met another car, probably doing 25 miles an hour, but yet I'm like, my hands are on the wheel, locked down, trying to watch the edge of the road, not to go over, you know, in the gravel road and hit the car coming at me. It was like, when it passed, it was like, oh, wow. My first effort to meet a car on the road. Well, the next thing you know, then we're hitting the highway and had to transition again to learn to drive at that speed. And of course, I kept stepping up to where you're finally passing a car. Then you hit the interstate. When I started to drive, the interstate speed limit was 75. And you're going from 55 back roads to 75 on the interstate with trailer trucks passing you. Because I wasn't passing anybody at that time. You're transitioning, learning to go to the next level. And the Lord said, things are going to happen so fast in 2018, you're going to lose the ability to keep control of things yourself. And I saw it like this. I saw it like we were trying to juggle 15 balls at one time, and there was no way we could keep up with every ball before it hit the ground. And the Lord said, I'm going to bring my people to a place where they cannot control or keep up with everything going on in their life. And the only way they can maintain any level of seeing issues resolved is by prayer, by speaking the word, by trusting in Him. that in this transition, God's going to transition us from dependency upon ourselves, dependency upon the world system, to total dependency upon Him and His Word. Do you follow me with this? Now, don't let me forget to share what I saw during praise and worship, okay? But as I was watching this movie, I couldn't make out anything I was seeing, but I knew God was showing me all these end time shifts. All these things are going to happen in 2018 and beyond. And I knew it was all at very high speed. And so Thursday night during praise and worship, I was seeking God, and I started seeing somewhat that vision again, and I believe God showed me what it was. At home, I have DirecTV, a satellite system. And it has, I don't know how many channels I have on my subscription. I'm sure well over 100 channels on the subscription. And whatever I set the receiver on is the channel I can watch. Amen? And so, I can set for what channel I want to see and focus on. Whatever channel I want to watch and receive information from, you know, maybe a teaching from or just entertainment from, I can set it on that channel. I have control of that channel. And Thursday night, I was seeking God about that vision, and God said, what you saw were all the channels being broadcast at the same time. Not DirecTV, but what was going to take place in the future. And I was seeing what's going to take place in the church, in our households, in our families, in the government, in the schools, regarding the wicked, regarding the righteous. And it was like I was getting 50 downloads at one time, all at the same time. And it wasn't that God wanted me to be able to make anything out. He wanted me to know that change is going to take place so quick, you can't set it on any channel. Just focus on that one. Do you follow me on that? That it's going to be all you can do is say, God, show me what I need to see. Give me what I need to do. I trust you for the resources to see it happen in Jesus' name. And that's going to be your lifestyle for 2018. A continual calling on God to go to the next level. Now, during praise and worship, I was receiving this download. And I saw this transition to 2018 as a car, truck, race car, whatever, accelerating on a course. And of course, it wasn't automatic, it was a straight shift. And when you're driving a straight shift, how many have never driven a straight shift? I'm just curious. Anybody here never driven a straight shift? So y'all know what a clutch is, right? When you're going around the course, you'll go through first gear and you'll rev all the way up. And when you get where it's maxed out, you hit the clutch and you pull into second. Or you hit to the ideal shift spot, really what you do. You hit second. And it, what happens? Your RPMs are reduced. Now you're, and you go through these gears. I love it on the motorcycle. I mean, that's the greatest thing. To have a spot you can just open up and speed shift gear. Just... And Harleys will do it too, praise God. Is that shifting represents a transition point where you've maxed out the level you're in and now you're about to go to the next level. And it requires an effort to push the clutch, pull into another gear and say, okay, God, I'm about to go to a level or a speed or a range of operation I've never been in before. And you intentionally push on the accelerator to go through that range. And I believe God's going to have 2018 where a year, He says, all I want you to do is hold the pedal to the metal. In other words, floor the accelerator. When it gets to the right spot, you shift to the next gear. And you just go as fast as you can. Do you follow me? And trust Jesus to take the wheel. Now, when this transmission, when this vehicle is shifting. Now, some of the older people may remember this. They've so improved transmissions over the years. But I remember back in the 40s, 50s, even early 60s, transmissions didn't have the synchronizers in them they have now. Especially downshifting, you would notice it. But even sometimes upshifting, especially in the trucks we would drive, You be in first gear going, wah, and you try to find second, and you go, bah, 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 and it'd be grinding gears. Anybody remember any of that? And you'd have to, you know, pop the clutch, double clutch it a bit, find the gear, bah, and then find you'd pull it in. Well, that grinding of the gears is at finding the place of meshing from one transition point to the next. And that grinding of the gears is the discomfort area of going to the next level. That's the transition spot where you don't feel like you have no power in first gear, you've no power in the next gear, and you feel like you're doing more damage than good. Because grinding gears is not really a good thing for the transmissions. But finally, you'd find it, you'd pull it in, and you'd accelerate to the next level, and then get to experience grinding gears again, sometimes at the next transition point. Do you follow me on that? And so what I saw is that God's going to have us in a season, not a season, it's going to be a lifestyle in 2018, of going to higher and higher speeds in faith. Higher and higher levels of having to call upon God and say, God, I've never called you on you at this level before, but here we are. Jesus, help me now. Help me shift these gears. But then I saw this. In the transmission, when you're shifting gears, you're changing gears that intermesh to drive the vehicle. In other words, you're shifting from one gear to another gear. Those teeth have to come into synchronization to cause the car, the vehicle, truck, or whatever to move along. And I saw all of us being individual gears. That not only are you shifting your gears to the next level, but all of us work together. And God's got this massive transmission system in the church. He's got to get all of our gears intermeshed. And that's why covenant is so vital in the end time church. Because it's not about just you or me. Not just about our calling. Not about Pastor Jack. It's about this church stepping into their giftings, their callings, their assignments from God, and all of us intermeshing together so that, you know, Pastor Rebecca is able to mesh in the right people to run the cameras and run the computers and the right resources she needs, mesh together for everything we need. And then Grace at the same time, because she's trying to pull gears away from Pastor Rebecca to take care of kids. Do you follow me? In other words, a lot of these gears are interchangeable. And God's got to bring us to a point we can intermesh all of these gears without anybody having a meltdown. Teeth breaking off the gears, right? Anybody having a problem so we can go to this next level as a church? Because not only does he want to take you gear by gear into your next level, he wants to take the church to its next level. And he can only do it as we intermesh in this covenant fashion. And 2018, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Maybe a year of some gears grinding in the church. But you can't let it take you out. Well, I didn't get what I needed, or I didn't get the attention, or I didn't get the position, or I didn't get the resource. Listen, in transition, we're just trying to find what gear can fit in where for the moment we need it. And we can't let offense take us out of our position of intermeshing. Do you see this? And so, regarding 2018, turn with me to Joel. No, go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I've got to speed this up some. We're coming to a place of total dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in mine infirmities, his weaknesses, his areas of that he can't resolve issues by himself. He needs God. in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. In other words, for the sake of the anointing. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, then am I strong. It's amazing how many times I try to work on something by my own strength. Then I realize, wait a minute, you have a hydraulic jack right there. Why are you trying to lift that when there's a jack right there that will lift that for you? And understand, through a little bit of effort on the jack, I can lift heavy items. Well, Paul was saying, when I come to the end of myself, when I realize this is beyond what I can even do myself, and I'll try to quit handling it of my own effort, then I will call upon God, and a supernatural force will come upon me. The anointing of His Christ will come upon me and give me strength to do what I could not do of myself. Do you follow me? You know, I watched an old movie here a few days ago. It was a documentary movie about a guy trying to explore. He was actually trying to find another explorer in South America back in the 1920s. And they had to carry, I forget how many tons of supplies. I think it was 3 tons of supplies they were carrying with them. And they couldn't find anybody to help them go because everybody was afraid. All the locals were afraid to go in this area because it was full of headhunters, you know, cannibals, and they wouldn't go. And they actually had to find people in such desperation, they were at the end of themselves, to get them to go on this trip. And when they took off, they couldn't go very far, but they went the first leg of the journey with an old Model T piled high with all these supplies. An old Model T truck, because it was in the 1920s. And what did that Model T do? It multiplied their ability to transport what they needed to carry. That's what a vehicle does. That truck, that car, does what you can't do of yourself. So when I realize I can't get to church walking from Frankfort to Georgetown in a reasonable time, when I'm weak, I can get in the car that makes me strong. What I want you to see is this vehicle that we're shifting gears is, it represents God's grace or His ability to do what we can't do. And when we're weak, we come to the end of ourselves, realize I need God to be doing this for me. We can call upon Him, we can confess the Word, and it will give us strength to do what we couldn't do of ourselves. Do you follow me? And 2018, I believe, is going to be a year we're going to be saying, God, I'm so glad I've learned to recognize my weakness, to call upon Your strength. And by faith, because this is going to take faith, by faith you're going to be saying, God, but I know Your Word has in it infinite power to manifest what I need it to fulfill right now. And you'll speak the Word and depend upon the Word and watch it come to pass. Because His Word will not return unto Him void. Right? So it's a year of us recognizing, really transitioning out of our ability into His ability. Now you may think you're there now, but if you were really to be able to step back and examine, and maybe some of you are, but you're able to step back and examine your life of how you deal with problems and challenges, the chances are the majority of the time you're saying, okay, here's how I can fix this. Here are my natural options to resolve this situation. And you may pray about it, but you're really looking for natural solutions. And God's going to bring us to the place where we recognize He has solutions we've never thought about or have no access to. Amen? In fact, at the marriage conference this year, we're going to talk about God's supernatural involvement in our marriage. That we believe God to deal with our health supernaturally. We believe God to deal with our finances supernaturally. Why not be involved in our marriages supernaturally? Amen. The point being is 2018 is going to be a year of learning to make that shift from my ability to control and to resolve to the Word's ability to resolve your issues. Amen. in Joel. I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time. Joel, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. 2018 is going to be a year of learning to say some things. You got to speak the word. You got to speak, God, I trust you to shift these gears. God, I trust you to let my gifts intermesh with the rest of the body of Christ. God, I trust you for everything I need. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Well, listen, if Jesus had to call upon the power of the Father, what makes us think we shouldn't be doing the same thing? And we're to be doing the same works that he did. And greater works than these show you do because he went to the Father, right? We're to be doing phenomenal works of God. But you can't do it as long as you're stuck in first gear trying to do it yourself. You've got to let God transition you to the next level. I've been hearing 2018 as a year of change. Even our president declared 2018 as a year of change. How about that? Just in the last week, he called 2018 a year of change, if I remember right. And that's what I'm seeing. Accelerated transitioning. But here's the problem. How many want to go to higher speeds? How many want to go to higher rates with God? Higher manifestation? Well, it's not just like you have an automatic transmission with this thing. You got to do some effort on this. And it's not always comfortable. But if we learn to trust in the Word, you can rest in it. Right? We're to enter into His rest. Galatians chapter 2. Let's turn there. Again, I feel like I'm reviewing Thursday night, but we're bringing in some new stuff. Galatians chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, what's crucified mean? You're dead. You're nailed to the tree, right? He says, I died with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. In other words, he was raised from the dead like Christ was raised from the dead. And so are you. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I'm not who I used to be. And guess what? When you're not who you used to be, you don't get to make your future plans anymore. When your life is shifted to Christ, your destiny is just shifted from your plans to God's plans. So he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, praise God for the anointing in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, my new life, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We're to now be living by faith in the Word, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. How do you think you frustrate the grace of God? We need to know what grace is, don't we? Grace is God's provision to fulfill your calling in life. Grace is God's anointing, His strength, His wisdom, His healing power, His financial resources, it's His blessing on your marriage and your children. That's all part of God's grace package for you. And the way you frustrate the grace of God is you refuse to call upon the Word, but you try to do everything yourself. Amen. And we're to be those that live by faith in the Son of God. Now, God had given me this vision of all the images intertwined and moving at high speed. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Teresa sent me a link to a prophecy for 2018 from a Pastor Christmas. Is that his name, Debbie? Kent Christmas? I used the wrong name Thursday night. It's Kent Christmas. And as I watched it, God just started convicting me of some stuff. And have you seen the prophecy? And really started drawing on me. And I want to show that prophecy this morning. Now, let me tell you in advance, it's about 20 minutes long. It's probably the longest prophecy I've ever listened to. Not only that, he starts off with one tone of voice, but before long he goes what I call, he goes Pentecostal with it. Meaning the old style, and Jesus, and... But I want you to don't lose focus. Hear what the prophecy declares, because I believe it. And if it doesn't all happen in 2018, it's going to happen in the near future. Because this is a divine shift God is bringing about. We've talked about everything in this prophecy. But here's a man of God, I believe anointed by the Spirit of God, bringing forth this message for now. And it's interesting that Nancy had the prophecy during praise and worship today, talking about stuff that's been on hold for a long time, is about to manifest, and God's going to show you things that you need to see to finish the puzzle being assembled in your life. You follow me? Are you ready for this, Pastor Rebecca? Let's go. And David, if you can turn these lights off here.
To you, that's how God told me to do it. I've never done that before. It's a little different for me, but it's the direction that I feel that God wants to release this word tonight in that manner. This prophecy tonight is going to deal with the nation. It's going to deal with the lukewarm. It's going to deal with the righteous. And it's going to deal with the wicked. If it doesn't apply to you, don't apply it to yourself. It starts out negative and it ends positive. So I don't want you feel like, well, there's no hope when you begin to hear this word of the Lord. But this is something that God has very, very clearly spoken to my spirit. And I want you to hear what God has to say tonight to us as the body of Christ. The Lord says that I am now taking hold of the reins of the nations in the earth and of my body and the church. The season of men being in charge is over, and I am now going to perform my word of my prophets that they have declared for generations. To those in my house who are believers but have left your first love, either return unto me your passion, or I'm going to remove your candlestick, and I will give it to another. And the light of my presence will no longer be in your life because you did not value the presence of the Lord. For Christians who no longer value my presence anymore and are lukewarm, and my house has not been a priority in your lives, I am going to withdraw from you this coming year, says the Lord. I have blessed the lukewarm, hoping that my blessings would make you love me more and want to spend time with me, but you have fallen in love with my blessings instead of me. I am now going to remove my protection that I have had in your lives and in your house and over your family, says the Lord. And when you cry out to me, I will not answer you in that day. My people have run after preachers and prophets who have lied to them and said it's all right to be lukewarm and not committed to me and make peace with sin in your life. They have said I am only a God of grace and mercy, and though I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, I also take no pleasure in my people who honor me with their lips, but not with their hearts. For Christians who have known my holy presence and have been filled with my spirit, but have put no value on that privilege, I am 2018 beginning to remove my presence from them, and they will no longer even feel convicted for the ways that they go in that are no longer right. I have never asked my children to be perfect, just to be holy, not to love the world or the things that are in the world, but to love me first. When the lukewarm have sold their souls for in the church, I am now going to take from them, I'm going to give it to my children who have lived for me at any cost. There's going to be a great change in the value system in the house of God. I am not releasing this word, says the Lord, because I'm looking for people to repent. I am releasing this word because I am absolving myself of the blood of the lukewarm on the day that you stand and look in the eyes of your holy Father. So he who is holy, let him be holy still, and he who is unclean, let him be unclean. Starting in the year 2018, I'm going to begin to remove many churches in this nation who have made my house a house of merchandise and have caused my presence to be hid from my sheep. For my house shall be called a house of prayer, says the Lord, and not a den of thieves. My house shall be a hospital, saith the Lord. It shall be filled with the bruised, the broken, and the needy. And though my house has been filled with many, it's not been filled with those whom my spirit has reached out to. This final move I am now releasing in the earth, says the Lord. It is not a move that's going to have mixture, but it will be a move of the pure presence of myself and of the Shekinah glory of God. I am now releasing my glory and my presence in the earth, because the harvest is now ready, says the Lord, and I have been waiting for laborers to put the harvest in. I now say unto the church that I have enough labor, says God, to bring the harvest into the house of the Lord. So in 2018, says the Lord, for many houses, your walls will have to be pushed out, saith God. For there's an army of men and women that are getting ready to come into the house of the Lord. And for those that are laborers, saith God, your labor in my work has not been in vain. But the joy of the Lord shall be in thee as you walk, saith God, them come in. Not by the hundreds and not by the thousands, but by the millions they shall come into the United States of America and to other nations, and my house shall again be called the house of prayer. As I now begin to release my glory in the nation, there are going to be massive crowds and abundant supply of financial resources. Great signs and wonders shall not only be in my church, but they shall begin to be released in Congress and in government, saith God, and in places of leadership throughout the world. I have withheld signs and wonders and miracles because the counterfeit church has made a God out of them and sought them and counterfeited them and would not give me glory. In 2018, there shall be a beginning of the greatest supernatural display of the glory of God that man has ever seen. You shall stand in amazement, saith God, and even the stories that have been told to you by another generation shall not be able to measure up to that I am getting ready to release in my body of Christ for the glory of the Lord. For it is my honor, saith God, to display the muscle and the power of my mind. And though I have been limited, saith God, I am now no longer limited. For I have an army of believers who have risen up in faith and have declared our God can do anything. The days of the devil and his servants putting a muzzle on my people are over. I now saith the Lord that I'm going to put great men in places of tremendous influence in the nations. They will speak with such authority and power that the enemy will not be able to be challenged. And the voices of them that have stood on your televisions and said that God is dead and that righteousness is evil and evil is righteousness, God says, I'm going to smite them. I'm going to declare war on the devil and his kingdom and his servants who have tried to destroy me and my people, saith the Lord. 2018, saith God, will be known and remembered as a year of death in the United States for the wicked, who have been a mouthpiece for Satan and also for false prophets, hirelings and wolves in sheep's clothing and the lukewarm. God says, I am physically going to remove men and women. And when you get up in the coming years, saith the Lord, you shall be amazed at the names that are going to begin to leave the earth that have tried to devour and detour the power and the glory of the Lord. I'm going to replace them with men who have never been heard and women who have been silenced by the enemy. They shall stand and speak under the wisdom and the power of God. And even your news channel, saith the Lord, shall begin to give them coverage of what God is saying in this hour. In 2018, though it will be a year of death for the wicked, God says it will be remembered as a year of rebirth and life for the righteousness. I now speak as the eternal Father of heaven, says the Lord. For decades, my son Jesus Christ has been ridiculed, discredited, mocked, and ignored by the wicked, and has not been given honor and reverence by the lukewarm. God says, I am now, hallelujah, in this coming year, in this nation and in nations around the world, I'm going to vindicate my son Jesus Christ. I'm going to lift him up and his name, and it will be a name above all names in heaven and in earth, saith the Lord. And the name of Jesus again will be on the lips of men and women that are righteous in this country. And the days of maligning God, saith the Lord, are coming to an end. God says, I'm going to bankrupt sports in the year of 2018. It shall be the beginning. God says, I'm coming against Hollywood. God says, I'm coming against the NFL. God says, I'm coming against professional sports, and they will never recover what they have had in times past. At the same time, saith the Lord, there's going to be a spirit of honor that's going to descend upon the house of God, and I'm going to redeem the integrity of my people and my ministry, saith the Lord. And in the house of God, it shall be known as a house of integrity, righteousness, and power by my Spirit. Starting now and continuing to the year 2018, I'm going to answer long-term prayers of the righteous, both in the spirit and in the natural. For years, saith the Lord, my children have prayed to me, petitioned me, asked me, and commanded me. Yet I have been silent until they wondered, God, do you even hear us? Yes, I have heard you, O righteous children. And not only am I going to answer your prayers in the spirit, there's going to be revival and glory and restoration. 2018 shall be a year of natural blessing upon the house of God. The Lord says moving companies are not going to have enough trucks to handle the amount that the righteous are going to move from one home to another. I'm going to take businesses, saith the Lord. I'm going to transfer their ownership and their deed. I'm going to give it to men that have struggled but have tithed and have stood on the things of God and held on to the word of the Lord. 2018 will be a year of great reward to those who with their sacrifice and faith have proved to me, whether I answered your prayers or not, that you would love me and serve me till you died. And if you died, your prayers not answered, that praise would still be upon your lips as you crossed over from this world to the next. I'm going to command the enemy, saith the Lord, to release and restore all that he has stolen from the righteous men and women in the earth, so that the word of the Lord shall be fulfilled that declares the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And though they think because their name's on the deed that it belongs to them, God says, I've had this generation of wicked men just become caretakers to nurture and to take care and to grow the prosperity that I'm getting ready to release unto the house of the Lord. God says, your prayers have ascended unto the throne room of the Lord, and I am now preparing thee a house and a habitation that shall be beautiful, and you shall be set as a city upon a hill that shall not be hid. And all that in that day, saith God, mortgages shall be burned, and the righteous, hallelujah, shall bring the power of God back into the house. There will be such an abundance of the presence of God, though that money and resources, that we will have to tell people, enough, enough, the coffers are overflowing, for my earth, hell, is full of my possessions, saith the Lord, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Do not think because I have been silent that I have not heard your voice, but on the year of the Lord has been attuned to the cry of my people. And now I stand this day, saith God, and I flex the muscle of my arm, and I declare unto the earth that it's mine, the church is mine, man is mine. I made man, he did not make me, and my word will not return unto me void. This move
move that you're going to see with thine eyes is not a pruning of my house, saith the Lord, but it is a cleansing, saith God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The Lord says, I'm not going to judge those who have sinned out of weakness. My mercy shall cover thee. But he said, I'm going to judge those in this nation and in my house who sinned out of choice and rebellion and have rejected the ways of God. Grace, saith the Lord, and judgment shall flow two rivers at the same time from my throne. One shall be to the righteous whom the world has mocked and ridiculed, and the other shall be to the wicked who says there is no God. Oh, know this, saith the Lord, that when the trumpet sounds, all they shall wish they had been as the righteous, for the favor of the Lord is now upon my people in the year 2018, saith the Lord. And though they reap the plagues of Egypt of the first few, God says, I declare that from this day on, I am setting, saith the Lord, a fence around godly families. And I make a commitment to you, says the Lord, and an oath that cancer shall not cross over, death shall not cross over, disease shall not cross over, and the devourer shall not cross over. For there is favor upon the righteous in the year of 2018. And while there grows darkness in their nation, there shall be light in the land of the righteous. And the spirit of heaviness that the enemies put on you, saith the Lord, I take it off, and I put on you the garment of praise. My word is going to be fulfilled, because I do not lie, and my word will not return unto me void. And for those that have served me for generations and for decades and have wondered, God, if this is all there is, know, my son and daughter, that no, this is just the beginning of what is being released. So choose me, saith the Lord, choose me, and know that the arm of flesh will fail you, but the arm of the Almighty shall sustain thee forever, saith the Lord. For there have been many that before men were ashamed of me. God says, I can no longer have people who will be ashamed of me before men. I need my church, saith the Lord, to take a public declaration from this day on, regardless of the cost, that I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The last move of the Lord will never be to the lukewarm. It will be to the unsaved, and it will be to the righteous. And God says, I am withdrawing my conviction for those that have heard me, and I pleaded with them that did not come. God says, you say there's time. I say there is no time for the lukewarm. There is for the righteous, and there is the unsaved. But the Lord says, what I am releasing is so precious and so glorious that I cannot allow it to be put on people who put value, who don't put value on it. God says, there is a wind of rest that I'm beginning to blow, and I am blowing rest upon the lives of you faithful men and women that have been so depleted from the battle. Today I am taking the sword out of thy hand, and I am putting the banner of righteousness and praise upon thee. And the war is coming to an end with evil in your life. For the unsaved that are in your family, God says, part of my heritage to you is that before 2018 is out, that many of you are going to stand in this church with your unsaved seed standing beside you, and they're going to give their hearts to the Lord. God said, I am bringing healing to the rifts of families, and there's a bond of unity and love that's getting ready to hit the house of the Lord. And as the Lord says, I am not angry with thee today that I am releasing this word, because I am now moving and man is no longer in charge. And God says, I want you to be in my house. I want you to be in my kingdom. I want to open the windows of heaven on you, and I want to bless you. I'm not angry. You are my love. I take no death in the pleasure in the death of the wicked. What I have is so valuable that what I'm going to give to committed people is of such price that I can only give to people who by faith have declared value of me. I have not forgotten the rejections, the sufferings, the embarrassments that you have endured for being a Christian. Know this, saith the Lord, there has been a voice of evil that has spoken in this nation. God says, I'm going to muzzle that voice. and there's going to be a voice of righteousness loose. And God says you will sit in front of your television, news stations, and you will look at one another in amazement and say, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. Because God said, I'm lifting up men that I'm going to confirm, says the Lord, that it's not the days of preaching anymore. It is the day of demonstration. And though there will be preaching in the house, God said it will not have the preeminence that it's had, but God said the greatest preaching is going to come forth. There's going to be a confirming of the word with signs and wonders following. The Lord says it's going to even be on little children that I'm going to hit classrooms. I am invading the school system of the United States of America. And these lies, saith the Lord, that have infiltrated and have been taught. God said, I'm going to remove professors and teachers that have taught children that which is not true. And because they stood in my classroom and taught this generation what is not true, God said, I am releasing a righteous sound. The Lord also says, the flag of this nation shall not fall to the ground in infancy and embarrassment. But the Lord said, I'm raising it back up. And as you've honored the flag, saith the Lord, thou hast honored me. And know this, saith God, I breathe on you. I breathe on you life. I breathe on you joy. I breathe on you peace. And may the God of peace be upon thee. My children, may you receive my word today, saith the Lord. Hallelujah! I can tell you this. If I was lukewarm, I'd be running for the altars. If I was righteous, I would be shouting. Since then the Lord gave me more prophetic, you can be seated. I'm going to speak more extemporaneously to you. This is what I heard God speak to me. Thank you. I was in prayer and God began to speak to me. He said, son, he said, I'm getting ready to raise up God portals and God gates in this nation. He said, God portals are geographical locations where heaven is going to be opened and there's going to be this divine connection and there will be no demonic interference. And God said, I'm going to even surround the perimeters of this nation with God portals. And he said, when those God portals happen, he said, you will know it because there's going to be a release of the Shekinah glory of God that's going to arise out of these God portals. And God said these God portals will not be stopped by man, but they will be divinely inspired by the power of God. And he said, the glory of God will set in these geographical locations. And he said, it will be of such magnitude that people will come from all of the other areas and they will behold the glory of the Lord. I went back and I began to just read. The Welsh Revival was a God portal. For 2 years.
Hallelujah. What'd you think of that? Now see, that end part about the portal is what God showed me years ago about Georgetown, Kentucky. The water tower opening up and the glory being poured out. Glory City rising up. We're going to affect this nation and the world. And that's why you experience so many battles. Aren't you glad that prophecy said God's going to give you some rest? You fight more battles than the average Christian. You fight bigger battles than the average Christian. Amen. Some of them are life and death, gnashing of teeth type battles. But the enemy's trying to stop you from stepping into the glory. That's why there's not 1,000 people in here right now, because the enemy knows the assignment for this church. And as he said, they'll be raised up all over the nation. I believe every word of that prophecy. Now, some of it said starting in 2018. Other things said in 2018. I don't know what's going to happen when. I just know I saw these gears and this vision of all these stations at the same time, these manifestations. And I'm believing for a move of God like we've never seen. I've been sharing this with people lately, probably for about the last 3 weeks, that I'm in a place of transition myself. And I've even told people, I don't know who in here I've spoken it to, I don't like it. I've said, I don't like it. I feel like I don't have a hold of what I had in the past. I don't know what's about to be released in the future. And I feel like I'm in this holding pattern of grinding gears. And I didn't use the term grinding gears, but this transition of, I know something's shifting, but I don't like the feeling of transition of not being able to control where I'm going. Well, I'm telling you, as of yesterday, I got to the next gear. That shift, now I'm expecting others to happen right away. But I can tell, as of yesterday, I spent a lot of time at Word and Prayer yesterday. As of yesterday, I've shifted to the next level. And the grinding gears have stopped. And I'm telling you, you want to go to the next levels. And don't panic in the midst of a shift. Don't say, well, I'm just not hearing God right now, because I felt like I wasn't even hearing God. I mean, I was hearing, but not like I'm used to hearing, and I wasn't feeling like I'm used to feeling. It was like, God, did you leave me? What's going on? And I could still read and study and pray and hear, but it wasn't like I was used to. But now I believe I'm at a higher level to hear and move even faster. And even this morning, whether you know it or not, is an accelerated service. There's a lot being released in a short time, just in this hour that you're here, 2 hours that you're here. Now, I want to read a prophecy, another prophecy to you. Some of you know who Lance Wallnau is. I believe a very prophetic individual, teacher of the Word of God. And he posted on Facebook a prophecy. He said, everybody needs to read this, last week, by Mario Murillo. You guys know who Mario Murillo is? Another prophetic teacher of the Word, very well known internationally. And this one's about America primarily. And as I read it, I'm going, exactly. I'm telling you, God's released. Paul said in Thessalonians, despise not prophesying. And sometimes you can get where, well, I heard that before and this hasn't happened and it's a prophet spoke that. I'm telling you, you got to get to where you recognize the prophetic is real. And it's not always exact, but it'll often set a direction. Do you follow me? And I believe a direction has been set for us. Now, I want to start off talking about how yesterday we celebrated 1 year of Trump presidency. And talking about a year of change. Now, see, we live life one day at a time. You follow me? And when you live life one day at a time, you don't necessarily notice all the, how can I say, accumulative changes that can take place over 365 days. But I believe this presidency has produced more accumulated change in 1 year than any in past history. Other than maybe a Lincoln or even Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, because of the Great Depression and the war and everything, had some changes take place. How far has the stock market gone up in 1 year? How much? 97? 8,000 points. As a percentage, it's like 28% or something like in 1 year. It's only happened one time, and that was under FDR coming out of the Great Depression. It went up like 93%. More federal judges confirmed in a year than ever before. Changes in our tax system, changes in our he's virtually shutting down whole segments of the federal government that were just virtual waste. And if you ever hear Sean Hannity talk about the changes, or you can even Google the changes made in 2017, monumental change took place last year. And that's why the devil's freaking out so bad. I mean, that's why we're in what they call a government shutdown right now. But nothing's shutting down. Maybe some paychecks are being delayed a little bit. But God's accelerating this change as a nation. And I want to read you this prophecy by Mario Murillo. Let me get to it. Yesterday, first president ever to speak at a pro-life rally. The president finally to confirm moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem after being promised time. We could go line after line of things he has done that the media is not reporting. How about this? How about this? We were told for 8 years you couldn't stop ISIS because it was just too complex of a problem. In 1 year, Trump destroyed ISIS. There is no more ISIS as far as a overall organization. He destroyed it. We don't hear that. Amen? I understand there's still fragments out there, but I'm talking about as far as a military force. They're done. This is the prophecy. He says, I'm walking the streets of San Francisco. Tim, did you have something? Trump turned the generals loose to destroy them. Praise God. I didn't know if you had I wanted to hear what you had to share. Amen. He says, I'm walking the streets of San Francisco. I snapped this picture and something blasted in my spirit. All that can be shaken. God has made his choice. God has chosen his targets. God will strike suddenly. Sounds like what we heard from Pastor Christmas. 2018, the year that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Sounds like accelerated shift and transition. Your companies who have used your wealth and power to persecute the righteous will now be shaken. You politicians who have ruined America for decades will suddenly disappear. He talked about the death of the wicked. That's a strong word. You preachers who have handled the word of God deceitfully and cheapened grace to finance your private life of drunkenness, whoredom, and materialism will have your gift removed in public humiliation. I want to mention that for just a minute. I mentioned this Thursday. We had a prophecy come out of Lexington at the Grace Advance 3 years ago. Let me back up. I'd had a... You guys okay with this? It's been about 3 years ago. I was in a service and God told me to measure my pulpit across the front and have people guess how wide it was. Remember that? And I used a yellow Stanley tape measure to measure it. Well, then we went to the Grace Advance. Pastor Philip pulls out a yellow Stanley tape measure, measures the front of Pastor Catlan's pulpit, and asks people to guess how wide it was. If he'd asked me, I'd have got the $100 because I knew how wide it was. And he was using it as a teaching example. He knew nothing about me doing it. So afterwards, I went and told him what I did. And he said that he went to God that night. He shared that God said in 42 months, he's going to judge the Hyper Grace Church. It's been 36 months. Actually, 35. 2018 becomes the year that was prophesied that God would deal with that hyper grace. And here in this prophecy by Murillo, God's talking about those that are cheap in grace. I just find that interesting. You follow me? I'm going to read this line again. You preachers who have handled the word of God deceitfully and cheap in grace to finance your private life of drunkenness, whoredom, and materialism will have your gift removed in public humiliation. God shook himself. He waited. He was patient. I need to do it with the right voice. He gave you time to play church. Okay. He gave you time to play church. He let you have your blessing toys. He looked away in hopes we would come to ourselves. His blessing and His goodness did not bring you to repentance. Sounds very much like what we heard. That the blessing was there for the lukewarm to turn to God, but instead they got caught up in the blessing. No, it became a license to go deeper into counterfeit Christianity. Remember that series I did on counterfeit anointings? The American church is guilty of great crimes against the Holy Spirit. We told Him to leave us and let us grow Christianity Incorporated, the worst thing we could have done. It was a mistake. A terrible, incalculable, ongoing mistake. In other words, man-made church. Derailing more truth in less time than any moral plague in history. It's why we couldn't stop Barack Obama. Why we made no cogent case to save marriage, the unborn, or free speech. Why we stood by and watched America change overnight. Why we were helpless to intervene when our nation began hating everything that made her great. Trump was only the beginning of this shaking. He is rude. He is offensive by design. His words uproot and tear down. He is a wrecking ball to an international corruption. His crudeness is a tool of God with a plan. He makes you queasy. He scares you. That's nothing. Just wait till they try to get Him out of power. Oh, how His enemies rejoice thinking they have nailed Him as a racist. They will fail for two simple reasons. He is not a racist and He is in power for a divine reason. Watch the most powerful people attack and crumble. Watch liberal heads explode as Trump remains. Not because He is holy or even a good leader, but because He has chosen to wreak havoc on the world system. Why now, you ask? Why has God rolled up His sleeves to root up false ministries? Why is He accelerating, there's a word, His earthquakes? I wondered. I asked. The answer was stunning but not surprising. Here are the reasons. We're at the moment when Google, Facebook, Apple, Twitter, along with leftist leaders, will unfurl a cyber iron curtain. Christians will be marginalized. Values that violate our Constitution and freedom of religion will be enforced. Bible preaching will be a hate crime. How sickening, carnal ministers were toadies in this plan to drive the church underground and terrorize Israel. God sees the coming midterm elections. Without a miracle by November, Nancy Pelosi will be again Speaker of the House. I don't believe that. I believe we're going to see the miracle. And this is my declaration. Normally, with a new presidency, they lose seats in Congress in the midterms. I believe we'll see the inverse this coming November. I believe we will gain seats as the wicked lose their cover of deception. Just my declaration. Amen. What a plague. We are only months away from a leftist backlash that will transcend anything in our history. God came to the inescapable decision that revival must come now or the nation is lost. As we said a year ago, as it was declared, Trump is not, how can I say, the savior of the nation. He is a stay of execution. And now it's up to the church to pray and make some things happen. Amen. God came to the inescapable decision that revival must come now where the nation is lost. He will pour out wrath. He will also pour out His Spirit. Hallelujah. Look for despised little churches faithfully preaching the Word of God to become centers of glory, miracles, and mass conversions. I like that line right there. Look for nobodies to come on the scene like a righteous tornado and roar repentance with such power that their voice will echo in the penthouse's power. Look for campus ministries to rise because millennials will see the blatant persecution and turn Christianity into a celebrated cause. Look for preaching to be matched with miracles, confirmation of the word by medically inexplicable healings. Look for God to pull out all stops to save America. Look for every ministry fueled by man to fall by the wayside to make room for voices that cannot be shaken. Again, what Pastor Christmas was declaring. Writing this blog brought me great turmoil until something happened that removed all doubt. I walked the streets of San Francisco fighting an inner war. Suddenly my cell phone rang. It was my good friend Ron McIntosh, president of Victory Bible College in Tulsa. Now he's having this encounter with God, walking the streets, and his phone rings. Ron McIntosh, he says, he asked me, "What is God telling you about 2018? Before I could answer him, he said, "God showed me it'd be a year of shaking all that can be shaken." It's not God will give you confirmations. I believe everything in this prophecy. And I believe the miracle of restoration of this political system is going to take place. Amen? Amen. But he's got to wake the church up out of lukewarmness. We've got to become that church in love with Jesus, love with his presence, love with the word, that won't stop until we see revival manifest. So ignore the voice of trying to get you to get caught up in the world and world activities. A year ago, at the Advance, I shared a word about how we cannot go into the supernatural love of God until we get rid of our love or idolatry of sports. Anybody remember that? And some people got mad about it. Some people were offended. I said, you can't love a sports team more than you love God and think you can move into supernatural agape. You can follow the game, you can enjoy the game, but where that's all you want to talk about and all you want to share about and all that you look forward to, something's out of alignment in your life. And again, Pastor Christmas said, sports are coming down. They'll never be where they were in this nation. The only way that takes place, because see, sports of this nation, is it Soma? Was that the word in Brave New World? Soma? I don't remember. It's sports are the placebo of idolatry for this nation that takes the place of worship of God for many people. And it's coming down. The only way that happens is through revival. I want every time you see that water tower to declare the glory of God's coming to Georgetown, Kentucky now. And then be about the Father's work. Yes? Yeah, the Cane Ridge portal, yes. In fact, you remind me, I need to call them and set our date for this year. Portals, touchdowns of God's glory. This will be a revival that will usher in the rapture, though. It's never going to stop. How many want to be involved in it? Then you got to set aside some other distractions to go into it. Amen? Speak the word only. In fact, that should become your mantra for 2018. I speak the word only. And watch what God does. What's that? Yes, the NFL, Hollywood, and the media. This declaring for a year of fake news has had an impact. Amen? In fact, I tell you, before I dismiss, anybody got, you've watched the video, you've heard the message, anybody got something, anything they want to share? Nancy?
I just wanted to kind of give you a point of view, too, that what I prophesied earlier this morning, there was an intensity to what I was sensing and what I was feeling that was unusual. And typically what happens is, in the mornings when I'll come in, we'll start in the worship, and I'll start to see and I'll start to hear then. This started before I even got here this morning. It was like there was a word coming forth today. There was a key that it had to be brought forth today. And one of the other things I remember saying was, wake up. And I think if you think back about the prophetic language, you've heard me say, I don't think you've ever heard me say that with that level of an intensity before. Usually it's a lot more gentle, a lot more wooing, a lot more subtle and a lot loving, but there is an urgency in the call that's going out today. and the words about the long-standing things that we have prayed for. This is a season of change. It's not another word like we've heard every year at the beginning of the year. It's not another word like we hear every week and we say, oh, that's nice, that sounds great, and we go on about our way. There is a very clear call going out today for all of us, myself included. We all have things that we need to do to rise up. And when the Lord slips a word out of my mouth like that, that after I say it, I go, oh, that's a wake-up moment to me. And I think it's a wake-up moment to all of us, that this is not fun and games. This is very serious, but it's also an incredible privilege that we have to be given advance knowledge, advance warning of what the Lord's about to do, because he loves us and he wants us to be in the position that he wants us in, not just because he loves us and we're his children. We play a key part in what is going to transpire. And the other thing that I remember thinking, Lord, why am I saying that this is a year of anything? This is the end of January. We typically do that the beginning of January. And all of a sudden, it was like today, a proclamation of what this year was about had to come forth. And I didn't even ask Pastor. Typically, if there's something like that coming forth, I clear it with him first. But that just came out this morning. And then not having any idea that he was going to share those and that they all tie together. This is an incredible time that we're in. And I think that it is really important that we all hear this with fresh ears, like we've never heard a prophecy before, like we've never been told all these things, you know, this year's going to be that. This is a time to really wake up and really pay attention to what the Lord is saying and to take our parts, because every single one of us has a key place in this coming forward.
I saw in that praise and worship, all of these gears like suspended from the ceiling, just hanging in the air, and all of a sudden they had to come and mesh in like this phenomenal grouping of gears together as a church.
Absolutely. And if there were two parts to that prophecy I shared this morning, part of it was about you and your own picture, right? About your own life. And then the second part of it was about how that all plays together as the church and our role. And I wish you could see what I saw, the incredible picture of you know, I mentioned it about it being very intense and 3D and so forth. But it was incredible. And it could only be something that was so supernaturally inspired. And about the portals, you know, I really fully believe that. And I remember the last part of the prophecy I came forth was again to decree that Georgetown is a city of glory. So, you know, that's something we can all begin to speak and begin to look for, because God's going to begin to show us how we can cooperate and how we can move forward in that. I just really wanted to give you a sense of what I was sensing in my spirit and the intensity of it and how unusual that is, that this was just not a normal day, not a normal Sunday. There's a proclamation of the Lord going forth, and it affects all of us, and we need to rise up and take our place. Amen.
You know, another confirmation of that would be that I just came through this. I'm going to state, I believe it has been the most dramatic transition I've ever gone through as a Christian in 33 years. That grinding of the gears and the discomfort and feeling like, what's going on here? I mean, almost like desperate, God, we need to do something. That I came through that yesterday, and really a lot of it came through this morning during praise and worship. That to be in that new place is further confirmation, I believe, of what we've heard. See how God's just pulling things together, and I said this morning starting out, God's speaking to people right now, and that's part of what's going on. Anybody else got anything they want to share? I know you don't like the microphone. Anyway, hold it up. Hold it up. Oh. We need it on the recording.
When you was talking over there a while ago, and Pastor Nancy was speaking there, but you was talking about, you know, the gears. And it's like I could see the back of a clock.
Yes, that's what it looked like.
That's what
I couldn't think of what it reminded me of. It looked like the back of a clock.
Oh, I've seen in the back of a clock or maybe in a movie or whatever, mm-hmm. but there's all these little wheels in there,
mm-hmm.
and they all connect to make the clock do the right.
And understand these, that all deals with timing.
Yes, the right time.
Timing and gears meshing and everything being in sync.
Yeah, well, that's what, yeah. when you was speaking over there a while ago. But yesterday, I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before, the Lord told me that my words mattered. The words that I speak, they shoot like an arrow.
Amen.
And I was telling Casey last night, I said, our words, it's not just my words, it's all of our words, whether they're good words or they're mm-hmm. bad words, but they're directed to mm-hmm. go as we send them out.
Yeah.
And he's been telling me a whole bunch of stuff, and he's been blessing me so much in the last 2 weeks, and only God knows, and some of the people around here, how much that mm-hmm. I needed that.
You know, as you were speaking, and you were mentioning the words we speak, gears have teeth. And I saw the teeth representing the words you speak. I mean, we could make that connection. And our words have to mesh. So if you got somebody speaking, you know, destruction, chaos, death, collapse, and trying to mesh with somebody speaking life, the teeth aren't going to mesh. Even in a marriage, I may use this in a marriage conference. You got to be speaking the right words to mesh. That's why people that are wicked can mesh. People righteous need to be speaking the word of God to mesh. Amen. Anybody else got anything they want to share? Something you believe God's given you? Well, listen, I believe one of the things we can do to go to this next level is corporate prayer. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we do have our prayer session. You're invited to. Amen. Feel free to bring a snack. We'll fellowship the first 15 or 20 minutes. And then we'll launch into prayer and stop at 9 or 8 o'clock. And I'm telling you, God's going to show up. And we need to listen to see if God's calling us to these kind of things. Amen. You know He's calling you to prayer, so whether the corporate prayer or not. But God's going to take our prayer. See, last year was here, our prayer took a major hit in His church as far as the corporate prayer. But 2018, we're getting it all back plus. Amen. I refuse to go backwards. Well, Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your prophetic word. We thank You for Your timing, Your strength, Your grace to enable us to fulfill the callings You have in our life. And I thank You, Lord God, You've spoken to each one here. And as we go home, You continue to speak and reveal and to draw all out of any level of lukewarmness in their life. And we step fully into the fire of God. We thank You. In this church, we decree we're all delivered from sickness, oppression, fear, and lack of any form. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, share the love of God. Be a blessing. We'll see you tonight.